That's right.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast.
Usual Friday.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome to another awesome episode of Talk About It Friday, where we interview Irese Chacon, author and writer from Florida. This is going to be absolutely amazing. So tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, let me see. I'm a Florida girl, born and bred, and there are not many of us. Most people move to Florida from someplace cold, but I'm a little warm-blooded Florida kid.
Yeah.
Never been anywhere cold, really. Going to Alaska next month. That'll be an eye-opener.
Oh, wow.
But I started writing when I was in what we call junior high. I was about 13. And I won my first writing competition that year. So that kind of gave me a little boost. Then I graduated from high school, couldn't go to college, went to work as a secretary. And that was the end of writing for a while.
Wow.
But I started writing freelance in the mid-80s, really. I hate to date myself, but while I had a full-time job, I continued to write, and I wrote a lot of screenplays, and I worked for some documentary organizations locally, some charities, did some documentary scripts for them. And
wow, incredible.
So I did a lot of scripts before I decided to try a novel. When I retired from teaching school a few years ago, I finally decided, well, it's time to write a novel. So,
right.
Let me start it.
Wow. So what sort of novel is it that you're writing?
I like to call them clean, funny, romantic mysteries.
Ooh.
They really are mysteries, but the mystery is only part of it.
Okay.
There's so much more to it than that. And in fact, they're designed to make people just feel really, really good.
Absolutely.
I love to hear from readers who say, I'm going to keep this, and on a rainy day when I'm depressed, I'm going to read it again. That's when I know I've done it.
Wow. So obviously your books are fiction.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Well, they have to be. You know, the real world is just not so much fun.
That's definitely true. I can relate to that.
I remember I watched the original Star Trek years ago, before you were born.
Okay.
Mr. Spock said to Captain Kirk, "The more complex the mind, the greater the need for play." And I think that's true in our world. The more complex our environment gets, the more we need to escape it now and then.
That is true. That is, I can definitely relate to that. Yeah, because the world today is, it just changes every day, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. I like a world that I can control and that I know is going to work out well for everyone involved.
Yeah. Well, my books don't really go down very well. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So going back to this screenplay, tell us a little bit about that. That seems really interesting.
Well, it was a lot of fun. And I went to every course I could possibly get whenever anyone from California or New York was here teaching weekend courses. I went to every one of them. I wrote about 9 feature-length screenplays.
Yeah.
I had twice I had an agent. I had one agent who left the business, and then I had a second agent. I had a MacGyver episode considered once. I had an action-adventure movie that was optioned for a time, but
yeah.
I don't think the producers ever put their money together, so it was never made. So I wrote lots of great movies that you've never seen and never will.
Oh, that's a shame.
But it was good training. You know, movies teach you that you have to have beginning, middle, end, and things must occur in a certain order, and things need to happen at the right time.
That's
so
true.
That's good training.
Wow. Wow. Is that never going to be possible for your book to become a movie?
Oh, listen, I would be thrilled if somebody would want to. And it should be very easy to adapt, because I still think in that movie form. You know, I think visually, I write in that standard 3-act formula. So it would be easy to convert them.
Yeah.
But I don't think I want to do the screenplays for them. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing for now.
Yeah, I spoke to someone, Donna Siggers, and she was doing, I think it was screenplay. You know, there's a lot of frustration in that, isn't there?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I understand the studios get like 2,500 scripts a year, and they might make all of them together 125 movies. And out of that, you and I will see maybe 10.
Yeah.
So
wow.
It's very frustrating for people. It gets very collaborative. You have no control yourself over what's really going to happen.
Well, no, that's absolutely right. I've always, you know, I said to my partner this morning, it's like, because I was busy editing my book, and I turned around and said to her, I said, you know what? I said, I absolutely love what I've written. I said, I'd love to see this as a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible.
I heard one screenplay maven say, the day that you finish the screenplay, that movie is perfect. It will run in your head. Nobody has changed a thing. It's just the way you envisioned it. And
yeah.
The minute you sell it to someone, they're going to change it. So just get used to that.
Absolutely. Oh, definitely. That is definitely true. Because there's some things like, you know, if you're going to do a book to movie, then you get a producer and they're saying, oh, well, you know, I don't really, you know, see that in this movie. And we're going to take that out, or we're going to change it around a bit.
Yes.
Yeah. So this this is what authors have got to expect as well, that there's going to be a lot of headaches.
Absolutely. I remember a story about a fellow who went to a film stage to watch them film the movie. And he was there for several days to write his article on how they filmed the movie. And every day this little man in the green jacket would come in and sit in a chair and watch for a while and then start crying and then get up and leave. So after several days of this, he said to someone, who is that little man in the green jacket? And they said, oh, he wrote the book.
Oh, right. There you go then. I suppose, in a way, I do recall having a little tear come from my eye. Because, you know, when you're writing a book, you're so there, aren't you? You know, you're interacting with every little thing that's going on.
Oh, yeah. Characters talk to you. Things happen you didn't predict. It's like so real.
I know. It's amazing. I love being a writer. What about you?
Oh, yes. I mean, if I could spend hours a day in my little world that I've created the way I like it, that's great.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the documentary that I heard you mention.
Well, I wrote several short little half-hour documentaries that were shown at public gatherings rather than televised.
Yeah.
And most of them were to support charities. For instance, I wrote a documentary for a state park here in Miami after the hurricane, after Hurricane Andrew, when they rebuilt their park and rebuilt their lighthouse. They wanted a documentary on the rebuilding. So I was able to write that and be on hand while they were filming it and help to do the editing also. And that was very satisfying. And they used it in their state park gift shop for a long time. I don't know if they still have it, but that was a lot of fun to do.
Wow, that's incredible. So a bit about your book. So how many books have you written so far?
I'm working on the seventh.
Wow.
Which is a sequel to the first one. All this time I've been writing the ones that I wanted to write while I was getting notes from people constantly. When are we going to get a sequel to this one? When are we going to get a sequel? So now I'm doing my first sequel to something. So it's kind of fun.
Wow. So what is the first book about, if you can give us a little bit of insight?
Okay. They're all about places in Florida that most people don't know anything about. And the first book takes place in a tiny town between the University of Florida and the state capital, somewhere up in there where there's a lot of forest and a lot of swamp.
Yeah.
And the name of the town is fictional, but supposedly it's an Indian word meaning chock full of big hungry reptiles. So it's about a blind man who's living next door to a librarian who believes herself totally invisible because no one else sees her. And suddenly this man is noticing her.
Wow. So it's basically, it's like paranormal, do you think?
It's got a little bit like that. He has a guide dog who's almost telepathic. They're such great friends. And it's very interesting. And of course, they end up having to solve a mystery and escape killers in the swamp and all of that before it's over.
Oh, that's awesome. So how many books are going to come with that one?
Well, I'm working on the second one in that series. They're called the Menoki Mysteries.
Yeah.
So I'm working on the second Menoki mystery right now, which is about someone finding a mammoth skeleton in the sinkhole on their land.
Wow.
It's very Florida.
I like that.
Sinkhole capital of the world.
That's it. I did attempt to write series before, but the only problem with that was that I didn't, it's not that I didn't have the patience, it's just that I found it so frustrating.
Uh-huh.
You know, because
so many details.
Yeah, because there's so many like things that you got to go back on, isn't there?
Yes, I keep thinking, oh, you know what? I've got to go back and reread the first book again and again.
Yeah.
And I noticed when I was working in script writing, every television series keeps what they call a Bible.
Yeah.
And in this book, it's like a loose leaf binder, and every time something happens to one of the characters in any episode, it goes in that book.
Ah.
So you can open the book and know that, oh, I see that Janie went to college here, but she dropped out. I see that she was engaged to this guy, but he had amnesia. I see that she, you know, the whole series is there in the book. So you don't have to remember it all.
Yeah. So there you go, authors out there. If you're listening to this, have one of them.
That's right. I mean, it's easy to do as you're writing the book when you describe a person. Copy and paste it over to another document and keep it in your Bible.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there you go. I've just learned something new. So thank you.
It's helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is your workflow like?
Well, I missed most of 2018. Up to that time, I'd been doing pretty well. It takes me anywhere between 3 months to a year to finish a book, depending on how much research I have to do and so on. But last year I had elderly parents who had to be cared for, and I have a handicapped child who had some things we had to deal with, and the family stuff just kept me from getting to it at all. I was just so intermittent, I got very little finished. But this year I am committed.
Wow.
From 9 to noon every day, nobody better speak to me. I'm busy. I'm not even here, in fact.
Oh, no, I was like that for a couple of days because I had my book. I kept saying to myself, okay, I need to finish this. I really need to do this. And it's been like months and months since I actually got it done. But today I actually got it done, and I'm happy that it's going to be published soon.
Wonderful. Do you find you're in a terrible mood all day if they won't let you get to it?
Yes.
You just need to do it and nobody will listen.
Yeah. No, honestly, that's what I'm like. You know, I said to myself as well, if I'm getting like this, I need to walk away from writing. But then that's when I actually put a workflow sheet in place. Because I do so many things at once. Like, you know, I've got my radio station, you know, I've got my writing. It's just so many things that I've got going on. So I've done a workflow chart today, and it's, you know, pretty good.
Yeah. If you schedule it, you'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you won't let other things get in the way. Now I can say to people, well, I'm sorry, I have a prior commitment at that hour. They don't need to know that my commitment is to me.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Exactly. So, you know, other than that, I mean, I really appreciate you giving us, you know, this opportunity to interview you. It's been absolutely amazing.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So is there any advice you would love to give beginner authors out there?
Oh, listen, I used to teach creative writing, and the one thing that we all have to do is to get rid of that little guy in the back of your mind who is always trying to fix things as you're writing it. If you stop to fix everything as you draft it, you will never finish the first draft. You have to just get it down. One of my screenwriting teachers used to say, don't get it right, get it written.
Yeah, exactly. I think the most thing as well is that people put so much pressure on themselves, don't they?
Yes. Somebody told me recently, give yourself permission to write something bad. As long as you write something today, it's okay if it's bad. Once it's written, you can fix it.
That's it. Absolutely. So again, thank you ever so much for coming onto our show. You've been absolutely brilliant. Don't forget, guys, that you can check out the description in the description. Yeah, check out the description in the description.
That's why they call it that.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, you have been absolutely brilliant. I'll catch you up after the show, yeah?
Okay, great, Wayne. Good to talk to you.
You too. Thank you ever so much.
Talk About It Friday.